Yeah. Welcome to episode 65 of the Speak On It podcast, hosted by your boy T-Lip. First episode of 2024, man. January 1st. Happy New Year to everybody. Hopefully y'all start off the year and finish the year even stronger. It's all love. Kind of wanted to talk about a few things today. I couldn't let the day go past without, you know, starting the year off with a podcast, you feel me? With an episode. Gotta start off right. Gotta start off the year right. That's just how I'm vibing, you feel what I'm saying? But one of the first topics I'm gonna talk about today is Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. They have literally taken down all of the big dogs in the NFL. All of the tough teams, all of their Super Bowl picks, all of some of the best quarterbacks. This is who the Ravens have played this year as far as like great quarterbacks. They played Joe Burrow. They played Deshaun Watson twice. They played, and I'm not going to say Deshaun Watson is great, but $230 million all guaranteed, that says different. So I'm going to put him in that category. They played against a hot and steaming Lions team with Jared Goff and the guys. They played against Geno Smith and the Seahawks, a paid quarterback, quality quarterback. They played against Justin Herbert in Los Angeles on Sunday Night Football. Only gave up one touchdown that game. They played against Matthew Stafford, one that played against Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville on Sunday Night Football, won that game. Played against Brock Purdy in San Francisco, basically gave up one touchdown. They kind of whooped San Francisco ass. And then they just played against Tua. So they've literally played against guys that could win the MVP. That's, at some point of this year, they have been in talks of MVP talk. Tua, one touchdown on the first drive. Then he went 40 minutes without scoring a touchdown. So they basically shut his ass down for sure. Brock Purdy shut him down, had him throw four interceptions. Sacked the ball, he got four interceptions, and he didn't even finish that game. Trevor Lawrence, what? Held him to 264 passing yards, one touchdown, that's it. And the touchdown was a big play to a running back slash returner that kind of leaked out of the backfield and scored on like a big play. But besides that, he didn't even do anything. Played against Justin Herbert, gave up one touchdown, was able to sack him three times and get an interception off of him as well. Geno Smith held him under 160 passing yards and one interception and sacked him four times. Jared Goff held him to two. First of all, he threw the ball 53 times. That is not a winning formula for the Lions. You don't want to do that. But turned him over and sacked him five times. And they played Joe Burrow in week two. Held him under 250 passing yards and sacked him and got the turned the ball over on him as well. This Ravens defense, like I said, they don't have the big name. They got Roquan Smith. I would say he's the biggest name on that defense, but he's not a real big name. I would say there's people that, you know, will put Fred Warner in front of him right now. There's people that would put who are some other solid linebackers in the league right now? I kind of think it's Roquan Smith and Fred Warner. Those are the top linebackers in the game right now. I would say that it's those two. But people always speak of Fred Warner way more highly than they speak of Roquan Smith. So that's just what I'm going to put on that. But he's the biggest name on that defense. You got a bunch of guys in the secondary. You got a Ronald Darby that's playing really, really good football for them right now. Stevens, he didn't even play in the Miami game. He's playing really well right now as well. Number 21, he's doing his thing. I actually like the way he's playing football right now. He kind of reminded me a little bit of Snead from Kansas City. I like both of them. I like how they're playing right now. You didn't have Kyle Hamilton out there yesterday. He's hurt right now. is going to be big for him. He's going to love these next few weeks, because I'm sure if I'm the Ravens, I'm not playing him next week. Like, he ain't going to play until we play in the playoffs. That'll give him 3 weeks off to get his body back right and be ready for the playoffs, ready to win three games. Marcus Williams, that safety, he's a quality safety. If you do remember him, he was the safety that gave up the touchdown in Minnesota, the Minnesota Miracle, when Stephon Diggs caught the corner route on the sideline. And the dude looked like he was in between making a play on the ball and tackling the guy, and he just didn't do neither one of them. And Diggs caught it and ran up the sideline, end of the game. People were really, really, really mad at Marcus Williams, but look what he's doing now. He's playing really well. Quality football back there. Geno Stone is up there in the interceptions in the NFL. He has six plus. I think he has six or seven INTs. Had one yesterday as well. So they don't have no big names. Like, they don't have a Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Terrell Suggs like they had for the past, you feel me, when they was winning. They don't have those guys. They got a Jadeveon Clowney that they picked up this year. Nobody else signed him. Nobody else offered him a big contract. Nobody else. You feel me? They have those type of guys. And they're the number one defense in the NFL, led by Roquan Smith. Patrick Queen is a great linebacker as well. He's a leader. He's doing his thing. If I'm the Ravens, I'm keeping them two together. I'm going to figure it out, because both of them are very energetic, smart, intelligent. And they linebackers that make plays in the pass game and in the running game. Like, if you notice, the first drive of the game, the first touchdown that Miami threw, Tua threw it right behind Roquan Smith for a basic route in between Roquan and Marcus Williams, and Cedric Wilson had caught the touchdown right behind him. But if you paid attention to it, Tua kind of pump faked slightly a little bit to, like, he was about to throw it to Achan on the under route. And that's what made Roquan jump up a little bit and create that space right behind him. And it gave him space to throw that that basic route, that glance route, however you want to call it, whatever your offense call it, to score the touchdown. But this is the thing when you playing with great players. You got them once. The second time they did it, Roquan Smith caught an interception. It was the second time. It was in the middle of the field. Tua did a little play fake, and it was like he was ready to throw it. He kind of pump faked a little bit, and then he let it go. But Roquan Smith seen that already, so he like, I'm going to go and take this. I'm going to make it seem like it's open. I'm going to make it seem like I'm going to the other side, but I'm not. I see him staring it down, and I'm going to go and take it. And that just goes – and he made a great play, a one-hand interception, basically, returned it back some yards. Great play by him. But that can just tell you that he was able to make that adjustment in the middle of the game. Like, it didn't take for him to get to after the game, watch the film on the next day on Monday, and be like, hey, I need you to do this. This is what you got to do. He made the adjustment literally in the second quarter. So the first drive, they scored on him by doing a little pump fake, or he took the hand off the ball and made it seem like he was about to throw him, and then he threw it right behind him. He did the same thing on his INT. And Roquan said, you got me once, you ain't going to get me again. And that's a great player right there. That is a great player right there. And you can just tell his energy is felt through that locker room. His energy is definitely felt on that defense, his presence, getting the guys aligned, communicating, giving them energy, giving them, you know, confidence that he's going to be there, play in and play out, calling out plays, tendencies. He's leading them on defense, and that's what I love to see for sure. This Ravens defense is one of the best, and this is why I think the Ravens are the Super Bowl favorite right now. The funny thing is, I thought they would have had a chance to win a Super Bowl last year if Lamar Jackson didn't get hurt. If Lamar Jackson didn't get hurt in week 11 or 12, they was 8-3 when Lamar Jackson got hurt last year. They were the number one seed in the AFC. They were the number one seed, and then he got hurt, and they still end up making the playoffs. So it's like they are a good team. But even when they had that defense last year, when they lost Lamar, you just lose one of the best players in the NFL. You can't replace that. I like Tyler Huntley. I think he played well in the playoff game last year. But Lamar Jackson is different, bro. You can't replace what he does play in and play out. You cannot replace it at all. And like I said, I had them win a championship last year before he got hurt. This year, he ain't hurt. He balling. He's showing out on every team. Lamar Jackson literally was 18 for 21 yesterday, 321 yards passing and 5 touchdowns. 5 versus a top 5 defense. The Miami Dolphins defense been a top 5 defense for sure after since Jalen Ramsey's been back. I think this is Jalen Ramsey like 4th game, 5th game back, 6th game maybe. They've been a top 5 defense. And they was even a good defense before Jalen Ramsey got back, but he's the type of infectious player that when his presence comes back, he takes his team to another level. He's a champion. You know, he's one of the best players in the NFL, and that's just what he does. So, but look what Lamar just did to that defense. He literally undressed that defense, took them apart. He took them apart last year, but his defense gave up some big plays in the fourth quarter, and he wasn't able to close the door. But they also paid attention to that as well last year. The Ravens went into this game knowing how the game versus the Dolphins went last year. And then it was coming to this similar point. Like, there were times in the third quarter where it was like 35-13. And the Ravens had got a couple three and outs. Like, they had turned the ball, not turned the ball, but they kept like punting. It was a couple drives where they like was punting the ball. And they might was trying to keep the door open for Miami. And you can kind of see it starting all over again. Like, oh, man, da-da-da. But then they closed the door on them. They closed the door. They scored, 21 points in the fourth quarter? Third quarter, they had 7 points. They kind of started getting like, oh, they're making points. They're trying to do something. Then the Dolphins scored on, like, I think it was like the first or second play out of the into the fourth quarter. They scored. So now it's 35-19. And now it's like, oh, man, is this one of them situations again? Is this one of them situations again? But they closed the door. They end up finishing the game, scoring 21 points in the fourth quarter. The Ravens. This team is just electric right now, man. They're hitting on all cylinders. Zay Flowers making plays, 100 yards receiving. Justice Hill, man, I love his game. I love his game. He had over 200 yards all purpose. He had 48 yards rushing on 3 carries. He had 5 catches for 64 yards, a touchdown on that. And he had 101 return yards. First play out of halftime, he runs the ball to the opposite 15-20-yard line. Like, that's a playmaker. He reminded me of Ahmad Bradshaw. I might be saying his name wrong, but Bradshaw from the New York Giants, number 44, the running back for, like, he was the running back with Brandon Jacobs, Eli Manning. When they won the championship, he was the running back. Bradshaw was that Swiss Army knife. Like, he can run the ball in between the tackles. He can catch the ball out the backfield. He was just a playmaker, man. He ran hard. He stayed healthy. He was just a guy that when you talk about that Giants team, you're probably not going to bring him up like that a lot because they had some guys, Michael Strahan, Olsen Umeyura. They had some guys, Antonio Pierce. You're going to bring up a lot of those guys. You ain't going to bring up Bradshaw, but Bradshaw made some quality plays for that team, and that's what I'm seeing from Justice Hill. Justice Hill is one of those running backs that's been with the Ravens for a long time now. And, yeah, he's been hurt sometimes and on and off. But when he's playing, this is the best I've seen him look this year. I mean, in his career. Even though when I've seen him playing before, he ran the ball pretty well, but he was hurt as well. So, but he hasn't been hurt this year, and his opportunities have been big. You're starting to see him, and he's taking advantage of it, taking the full advantage of it. So I love what he brings to this offense. Like I said, you got Zay Flowers, 3 catches for 106 yards. Rashad Bateman made some big catches yesterday, 4 catches for 54 yards. He made some big catches yesterday. And if he can just continue to do that, just make the catches, just catch the ball, for real. I think he can do something with the ball in his hand afterwards. We've seen him take a slant 80 yards before. We've seen him make some big plays in the passing game, down the field. if he can just, I think he should watch Godwin film from Tampa Bay. If he can be a Chris Godwin for Lamar Jackson, just a guy that can just make plays anywhere between 15 yards, 10 yards, slants, drags, over routes, digs, out routes, like just dominate in between 15 yards. Of course, he can stretch the field. We've seen him stretch the field. We've seen him, like, shit, the first play yesterday out of the gate, Lamar threw him a double move, and I thought it was a catch. Like, they always say the ground going to cause for the ball, but you got to understand, the ground ain't going to move, but if the ball don't move like that, it's going to move a little bit because you're hitting a ground. You're hitting a ground surface. But if it didn't help me catch the ball, I think it should be a catch. But they begged the difference. They said otherwise, and it wasn't a catch. Then they went back to him again. But he's the X factor for that team. I think Zay Flowers is Zay Flowers. I think he's going to do his thing. I think Odell, he can have a game where he go over 100 yards. He can have a game where yesterday he had one catch for 33 yards. It can be like that. But I think Bateman is the guy that could help this offense for real. I like Isaiah Likely, the tight end. I like him. He made a great catch yesterday. That one-hand catch, his touchdown on 4th and 7. A one-hand, left-handed catch on 4th and 7, and then you catch it and turn it up and run and score a touchdown, that's big time. That is big. That's a big-time play right there. And we still sleep on it, but they may be able to get Andrews back. But it's good that Likely is making plays and he's able to do what he does. But if they get Andrews back and they can just have him play a solid 20 plays a game, that's just adding another weapon to this offense. I don't know if he's going to come back, but they saying he can potentially come back. I don't know when, if it's going to be the first playoff game or the Super Bowl or the second playoff game. Whenever it is, we're going to see. But I would like to see that as well. This offense just explosive, man. This is one of the best offenses that Lamar has had around him in his entire career. Even when he won the MVP, the offense that he have now is better. I like Todd Monk in addition. He's helped Lamar Jackson as well. He's called more passing plays than Greg Roman called. And he probably was able to explain why he's calling the passing plays. While Greg Roman was a running coordinator that just called passing plays because, hey, we got to pass the ball sometimes. But Todd Monken is a passing guy that's going to run the ball. Like, the Ravens are going to run the ball. But he can explain the why behind the concepts, the passing concepts that he is teaching Lamar, the plays that he's calling for Lamar. This Ravens team is dangerous right now. They clinched the one seed. They've clinched the division. They play at home next week. They really not traveling nowhere until they go to Las Vegas for the Super Bowl. That's if they continue to take care of their business. But they don't have another away game no more. It's coming through Baltimore. So they end the season off next week in Baltimore versus Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh needs this game to potentially make the playoffs. If I'm the Ravens, I'm sitting Lamar Jackson out. I'm sitting Kyle Hamilton out. I'm sitting Roquan Smith out. I may play my receivers, but I may play them only for like a half, maybe. I might play them only for a half. But that's it, though. Kyle Hamilton is not playing. Give him 3 weeks to come back to get healthier, strengthier. Humphrey, I'm not playing him. Give him some time to get back. He kind of tweaked his calf again yesterday. Give him 2-3 weeks off to get back healthy, strengthening that calf. Hopefully it don't turn into anything worse than that. That's what I'm doing, because they don't need the win next week. They got one game. They don't need it. The Steelers need it. And the championship is going to come through Baltimore. So if you're going to go to the championship out of the AFC, you're going to have to win it in Baltimore. And that's going to be a hard matchup to win. That's all I'm saying. That's going to be a hard matchup to win, because Baltimore, like I said, you can play at 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. All of those different time slots are tough to play in. And now you got to go in there and guard Lamar and that defense. It's just looking real Super Bowl-licious right now, man. That's just me, though. But incoming two-time MVP Lamar Jackson is coming in. I think you know, a lot of people know by now Lamar Jackson is the MVP of this year. He would be the first player ever to become a two-time MVP at the age of 26. He would be the first player to ever do that. Out of all the players you've seen in this NFL, out of all the multi-time MVPs, he would be the 10th two-time MVP to ever be MVP. The youngest to do it once, I think, and he'll be the youngest to do it twice. Are we still trying to say Lamar's not a good quarterback? Is that quarterbacky enough for you, sweetheart? I just want to know if that's quarterbacky enough for you, sweetheart. I don't know. You know, maybe you probably want a Chad Pennington type guy, or, you know, Jacoby Brissett. It's up to you. I'll take a Lamar Jackson, though. You know, I'll take Lamar Jackson over Chad Henne, you know. That's just me. I would take Lamar Jackson over Kirk Cousins. That's just me. I don't know, you know. He looks quarterbacky to me. I'm just saying. He had more passing touchdowns than incompletions versus the top five defense in week 17, where you know it really counts. That's just me, though. But I'll be surprised if the Ravens are not in the Super Bowl and plan to win it this year. I'll be surprised. Let's move on from that. Obviously, we got two AFC showdowns this week. We got the Colts and the Texans showdown this week. The Colts and the Texans play Saturday night. It's in Indianapolis. The winner of this game definitely punched their spot into making it to the playoffs. And it's going to be a big game, man. Will we see the Colts with a backup quarterback, Gardner Minshew, damn near from week 3 or 4 or 5, make it to the playoffs? A rookie coach with a backup quarterback that just let go of their best linebacker a few weeks ago, that's been missing players all year. Jonathan Taylor had missed games all year. Will we see them win, or will we see CJ Stroud and another rookie coach, D'Amico Ryans, go into Indianapolis and make it to the playoffs their first year? I mean, there was a time this early in this year where CJ Stroud's name was being mentioned in the MVP race. There was a time. I think this is the biggest game of CJ Stroud's young NFL career. And I love it. Away game, you gotta win. It ain't gonna be easy. It's gonna be tough. It's a division game. Division games are always tough no matter what the records are. It's going to be tough. And I'm kind of, I don't know, because Jonathan Taylor can go off and he can take over this game. And then you got Pierce, you got Michael Pittman. You feel me? You have a lot of good, like the Colts have an offense. The Colts have offensive guys and where they can make some plays. The Colts have playmakers on that offense. They do. So, I'm excited to see how this matchup turns out. I think, man, I don't really want to make a choice right now, but I think I'm kind of leaning towards Houston. But I know that Tank Dell injury is going to kind of hurt them a little bit. But we're going to see, man. We're going to see. I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts win either. But let's move on from that. I can't wait to that showdown. That showdown is Saturday night. Let's go to this Sunday night showdown, AFC East showdown. Bills travel all the way to Miami to play the Dolphins with the division on the line. The Dolphins have the division on. This is the division on the line. The 2 seed is on the line right now. And these are the stakes. If the Dolphins win this game, they are the 2 seed, and they will play a home game up until they play the Ravens potentially. Or if the Ravens lose, they will be the home team for the last round. Because they're the 2 seed. If they lose, if the Dolphins lose, they'll be a 5th seed or a 6th seed, and they won't have no home games, basically. If the Bills win, they are the 2 seed. and they win a division, which will be great because the year that they had this year, people was thinking they weren't going to make it to the playoffs around like week 8, week 9. But now they have a chance to win a division. That's big time right there. However, if the Bills lose, they can potentially miss the playoffs. If the Bills lose and Texans win and the Steelers win, I think the Bills will be out of the playoffs. And I think the Steelers got a better chance of winning this week because I don't think the Ravens are going to play their guys. And the Steelers need this win. So they're going to be trying to play to win. And the Ravens probably ain't going to play their best guys. So it's going to make it a little easier, I guess. And the Colts and the Texans both not going to make it. One of them going to make it. The Browns are for sure going to make it. Browns already clinched their playoff spot. So it's really only one spot left. And if the Bills lose, they only going to make it tougher for themselves. Because if the Steelers win, and the Bills lose, the Bills are out of the playoffs. So they literally can go, this can go either way. You have to go into Miami in January and win on a Sunday night and win a road game versus Tua, Mike McDaniel, Tariq Hill. And Josh Allen hasn't won in Miami the last couple years. He have his fair share of losses in Miami. He has his fair share of losses in Miami. Now, Miami's going to be Chubb is not going to be out there. We don't know if X is going to be out there right now, but we're going to see. So it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, but your playoff hopes is on the line. If you want to continue to play football, you got to win this game. If the Dolphins lose, they still going to the playoffs. If the Bills lose, you probably not going to the playoffs because the Steelers are probably going to beat the Ravens. Maybe, because I don't know, because Tyler Huntley can play. So, and I don't know if the Ravens are going to bench their, sit their starters. I don't know. I don't know if Lamar Jackson is not going to play. I don't know. We're still going to wait to see that. But this is going to be a big game. This is going to be a big game for Josh Allen. I think this is a Josh Allen game, especially knowing that Miami is not going to have the pass rush that they have. You feel me? You can't replace Bradley Chubb. You can't replace Jalen Phillips. That just opens it up. They're going to be the Bills should be able to run the ball, and they should be able to give time to Josh Allen to do what he want to do as far as passing the ball, downfield, or running the ball. So this should be a Josh Allen game. However, if Josh Allen loses this game, that is not a good look. That is not a good look because your season is on the line right now. And your plan is going to be hot. It's Florida. It's Miami. It's going to be hot. It ain't going to be no crazy weather conditions. None of that. If you lose this game, it's going to be only on you because the Bills have lost games earlier this year where they should have won. Let me tell you some of the games. First of all, they should have won the first game of the year versus the Jets when Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles on the fourth play of the game. They should have won that game. They lost that game. They should have beat the Jaguars even in London. They lost that game. They lost to the Patriots. The Bills lost to the Patriots. Should have won that game. Then they lost to the Broncos as well when the Broncos was going through so much losses and this and that. They lost that game. So it's game they should have won that they lost. And this is what made them, it come down to this. This is why this game is so important right now, because they squandered their chances of, giving themselves a little room for error. Because if they would have won some of those games that they lost, they would be in better standings right now. But they didn't. And maybe they created this pressure on themselves. And that's cool because I like Josh Allen under pressure. I want to see how he operates under this pressure because it will be pressure this game. So I'm excited to see how he looks. I'm excited to see how this looks. I'm excited to see if Tua want to close the door on all that too, though. We got to talk about Tua. Will he shut all that down? Because you don't want to go into the playoffs under a loss and going from the 2 seed all the way to the 5th seed, you don't want to do that either. You do not want to do that. If I'm Miami, I do not want to go from, hey, we for sure got a home game next week, to us losing, and now we got to go on the road and play at Jacksonville or at Houston or at the Colts, depending on whoever wins that division. Like, I think that would be a loss for real. If you lose this game and now you're a road team again, I think that would be a loss for Tua as well. This is a chance for Tua to shut it down right now. Like, just this is just as big of a game for Tua. I mean, for Tua, just like it is for Josh Allen. They both have high stakes on this game. This is not no game you're just going to look past and be like, oh, well. No, this game, like, we're going to learn a lot about Tua and Josh Allen this game. I think we know enough about Josh Allen. I think he still has to do some proving, though. He still has to start the season off right and win early and win late and can really compete for a championship in the playoffs and put a whole year together. But all eyes on Tua this game, especially with how he just played in Baltimore just yesterday. All eyes are going to be on Tua. We gotta see what he looked like with his home field advantage, the division on the line. We got to see what he looked like. Has to see what he looked like. But I'm excited to see that matchup, man. I'm excited to see that matchup. I don't know who I'm going to go with right now. I'm not going to make a pick. But I think whoever plays the best at quarterback, I think they're going to be the one that win this game. If you think Tua is going to be the best at quarterback, he's going to win. If you think Josh Allen is going to be the best at quarterback that day, then he's going to win. We're going to see. Moving on from that, man, let's talk about a couple of these potential playoff matchups, first-round matchups. I think we have a couple of them that we probably know that's going to happen. Let's start off in the NFC first. If the Packers win Sunday or against the Bears, they clinch the 7th seed in the NFC, and they will play the Cowboys. That's if the Cowboys win, too. The Cowboys win, they clinch their division. So potential Cowboys-Packers matchup again. The last time the Packers went to Jerry's World, Aaron Rodgers made a miraculous play to throw to – what was his name? What was that tight end name? Was it Jermichael Finley? I think it was Jermichael Finley to win that game. He had a great performance. But we'll see how that matchup goes. It'll probably be Cowboys, Packers. It will be the Los Angeles Rams traveling and Matt Stafford traveling up to Detroit and play the Detroit Lions. Matt Stafford, playoff game in Detroit. that don't even sound right, do it? But that's what's happening. The Los Angeles Rams and Matt Stafford and Sean McVay will travel to Detroit to play the Detroit Lions. And I think it's an upset alert in that matchup. Upset alert. I'm telling y'all right now, if that is the matchup, which I think it will be, because I think the Lions will remain the 3 seed, and I think the Rams will remain the 6th seed. I think that's upset alert for sure. And then it'll probably be either the Bucks or the Saints facing the Eagles. The Eagles are going through a lot right now. We're going to see how I think they just down as a team right now. So hopefully they could be able to win a playoff game and get some more confidence and able to, try to defend their NFC title, But we're going to see, though, because they going through a lot right now. But we're going to see. Now, let's move on to the AFC, some potential matchups, first week matchups. Let's say the Bills win Saturday. The Bills will be the 2 seed, and they will face most likely the winner of the Colts and the Texans. And I think they beat both of those teams. And the 3 seed will be the Chiefs, and they will play. I think they'll play the I think they end up playing the Dolphins. I think they'll play the Dolphins. The Dolphins will be the 6th seed. I don't think the Dolphins will jump the Browns being a 5 seed. Who knows? I don't know how that's going to turn out. I think they had the same record and the same division record as well, but we'll see. The Chiefs and the Dolphins, man, that's going to be a big game. Tariq Hill will be traveling up to, you know, Arrowhead for the first time since he's played. It'll be cold. I'm sure it won't be nice and breezy. I don't know, man. I think that'll be different. I think the Chiefs might have the advantage in that game. Because Miami will be missing pass rush. So Mahomes will have a lot of time for guys to get open. Now, if guys are able to catch the ball, hey, man, they might get open. I like the Chiefs defense. I like the Chiefs defense. And the Chiefs already beat them. They had them up 21-0 when they played in London or whatever they played at. So I think I like the Chiefs in that matchup. And that'd be a failure for Miami if they lose in the first round and they lost, you know, a home game because they lost to the Bills. I think that'd be an ultimate failure for that program and that organization. I think there will be questions in that program more than ever regarding, the quarterback situation, all of it. I think all of it would be questions. And if the Jaguars win, they would win a division and they would play the Browns. I got the Browns winning that. I got the Browns winning it. The best player on the field would be Myles Garrett. I think he would wreak havoc. Trevor Lawrence didn't play last week. We're going to see how that goes. Joe Flacco is playing pretty well right now. Amari Cooper can go over 200 yards any given Sunday. We've seen it. David Njoku is playing really well right now. Shout out to Joe Flacco because of that, because Njoku has actually been playing really well since Joe Flacco has been the quarterback. So I'm loving that. But, man, this playoffs is going to get interesting, man. I'm telling y'all, the playoffs is going to get very interesting. I'm excited to see this playoff this year because there's a lot of quarterback play to where we're going to see guys that's played this year and they've been in the MVP talks and their team has been good all year. But now let's see if you can make the plays when it matter. Let's see if you can make the plays when it matter. If your defense got your back, if your special teams got your back, coaching will come into play now. Let's see if you can make the adjustments in the middle of the game, because you don't have, if you lose, you can't, ain't no adjustment to be made after that. You don't have another Monday to look at the game, and you don't have that. You don't have that. You do not have that. So I'm excited to see this matchup for sure this year. Definitely playoffs will be very, very, very interesting. And last but not least, man, I'm going to end it with the biggest bust season in the NFL right now. These are some of the teams that I thought would be at least in the playoffs, you know, competing, better records than they have. I feel like these guys have weapons, and they just can't figure it out. I don't know. I don't know what they're lacking, but I just thought they would perform better as a unit this year, and they didn't. The first team I'm going to go with is the Los Angeles Chargers. I just feel like, man, they have weapons. They have Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen. They lost Mike Williams early in the season, but I'm just talking about preseason. They drafted another number one receiver, Quentin Johnston. He hasn't turned out to be, you know, what he needed to be this rookie year. They have a decent tight end in Everett. They have an okay offensive line. They have Bosa, Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack is damn near have 15 sacks this year. Derwin James, Asante Samuel, like, Jr. Like, they had guys. They had guys, and they're 5-11. Obviously, Justin Herbert has been out since like week 10 or 11, but before he got hurt, they were still a bad team. They have not been a good team since he's been there. They have not. They was up 27-0 last year in the playoffs at halftime versus the Jaguars, and they lost that game. That's on the quarterback, too. Like, I know people don't want to put it on Justin Herbert. Y'all don't want to put nothing on Justin Herbert. But just because you can make the throws and you got a big arm, that don't mean you're a good quarterback. That don't mean you're a leader, and that don't mean you're a winner either. And I think he needs to do a better job of leading his team to win, because I think they have put enough talent around him to make something shake. Like, I think he's had one, like, perimeter guys, I think he's had like a very talented unit around him since he's been a quarterback. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler. He had Melvin Gordon at the time. Like, he's had a good offense. They just lacking. And I don't know what they lacking. But we're going to see. We're going to see next year, I guess. To the NFC team that I chose was a team that was like the, you know, most upsetting team this year. And I even had this team like damn near in one of my Super Bowl picks, you know, matchups. Like prior to this season, I picked the Super Bowl team that I think it was going to meet up in the Super Bowl. I had the Chiefs going in versus the Seahawks. The Seahawks are in the AFC right now, sitting at 8-8, 1-4 in their division. If you would have told me the Los Angeles Rams was going to make the playoffs this year and the Seattle Seahawks wasn't, I'd have been like, you lying. Because Matthew Stafford is questions around if he want to play or not, still play. Cooper Kupp is going to miss the first 5-6 games. Their defense is very young. They don't have no big names on the defense besides Aaron Donald, Puka Nacua. They got a fifth-round running back, a fifth-round wide receiver. Like, I just didn't think they had enough this year. But they have been one of the – they are the most dangerous wild card team in the playoffs this year. Sean McVay deserves all the credit. He has done a great job with this team. Running back has over 1,000 yards. He's been running the ball really well. Kyren Williams this year. Puka Nacua, damn near got over 1,400 yards. Making big plays for his team. Man, this Rams team is pretty good right now. But the Seahawks, they have been disappointing this year, man. Like, they got weapons. Kenneth Walker, Geno Smith, man, Tyler Lockett, DJ Metcalf, Ninjigba, Noah Fant. Like, they just have guys on it. They have a decent offensive line. They just have weapons, and they have a decent defense. They have weapons to where I thought they was going to at least be competing with the 49ers for that division. If not beating the 49ers, I felt like they was going to be competing. Not on the outside looking in of the playoffs. So, I don't know what's going on there in Seattle, man, but I hope, you know, I think they're one of the most disappointed teams this year because I had high expectations for them. And, you know, sometimes people just can't, you know, I don't know. Sometimes with expectations, things don't go the way you want them to go. But, yeah, I think they're just one of the most – I think the Chargers and the Seahawks are the most disappointing teams this year. And I will look forward to see what they're going to be doing this offseason to get them over the hump for sure, for sure-ski. But that's all I got for y'all today, man. That's all I got for y'all today. It's January 1st. Happy New Year to y'all folks. Just stack the days up, man. No New Year's resolutions for me. Just continue to get better every day. Handle my business. Business, for real. But it's all love, man. Appreciate y'all for joining the Speak On It podcast for episode 65. It's all love. Lip out.